This sermon was downloaded from www.spiritnerds.org. We equip Christians with thousands of strategic spiritual materials daily. Join millions of Christians around the world who have come to Spirit Nerds to learn about God and His Word today.
Feel that because their spouses are no longer there, they can begin to live wayward lives. In fact, some of them go after other women's husbands. As if it's the other woman that killed your husband. I hear some of them say, you don't know that I don't have a husband. Then if you would feel that you cannot stay alone, go and marry. Because the Bible also allows widows who are young that they should also get married. It is not proper for a widow to begin to feel that she is a widow, and because she needs support and she cannot come to Christ, begin to look for support in her own capacity. Look for support in her own understanding. Looking for other, going to cause pain in the lives of other homes. In fact, some of these widows even destroy these women's homes by taking their husbands to themselves, and they are feeling so proud that they have made it. There's a widow living close to me. And what that woman does is really, really strange. She collected another woman's husband. The man comes there in the night when all doors are shut. He will just walk craftily into the house of that woman. There was a night God did something strange to me. This man was in this woman's house. And do you know what the Lord did? The Lord opened my ears. I heard the steps of that man. The steps of that man. As he was, you know, when you want to enter inside the house, that there's in this our time, there's interlock on the floor, but there are houses that there's no interlock. So when you come, they stand under your shoe. So you come and do like this before you go inside. That was what the Lord did to me. And I heard the steps of that man. I don't know what God wanted me to get from that. But what I ended up doing was to stand up and pray. Because I did not even understand what God wanted me to do. So I began to pray. I said, Lord, whatever this woman is doing is injustice that she's doing to this woman. If she wants to marry, it is true that she has other children. But she's still a young woman. And if she cannot hold herself, she can equally go and marry. You cannot go and take another woman's husband and cause her pain. And you are not even bothered about it. You don't care about it. You feel because God has injured your heart, God has done injustice to you by killing your husband. You don't even know what God wants you to do. Maybe if that man was there, you will not be able to do what he wants you to do. And he decided to take your husband so that he will pull you to himself to be able to do whatever he wants you to do. I am not saying that it's good for husbands of women should die. Women should become widows. Is that clear? That is not what I am saying. But peradventure you fall victim of being a widow. That is not the end of life. God has plans for you. It's either God himself will instruct you to marry, and he will bring somebody who will, he will come to you and marry you again. That will console you. If it is God himself that gives you that man, that man is going to be your friend, your father, and your everything. A man that will console you. But it's not the same in every case. There are some women, even though they are young, but God will allow their husbands to die, and he will not allow them to marry again. He will just call them to himself. That as for you, you will serve me in my temple. You will dwell there day and night, serving me. And the fact that the Lord gives you that kind of instruction does not mean that he's going to leave you. He will back you up, and he will strengthen you. He will be the one to provide for you. He will be the one to do everything for you. So widows and single mothers, it's not a reason for you to begin to live carelessly because you don't have a husband. If you really desire to marry, and it's the will of God for you to marry, God himself will provide a husband for you. Stop taking other women's husbands. God saw you and your husband, but He took the husband away and allowed you to live alone. He knows why he did that. God's ways cannot be questioned. Even if we question him, he will not answer us. He answers us when he wants to answer, because he's the king. So it is when he wants to answer, he will answer you. If he wants you to marry, he will give you a husband. If he does not want you to marry, you are his vessel. He decides to do whatever he wants to do with you. So it is not in your place to question him. I remember when my husband died, I used to question God a lot. I said, Lord, it is this me that prays to you. Because I felt that in my own husband's house, I was the only person that is a believer there. Actually, I felt I was the only believer. I felt that I was the only person that knows God. I felt that I was the only person that loves God. And this is the same me that was praying day and night. Praying for my husband, prosper my husband, do this, do that. I was the person that God visited and took my husband away. And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, are you fair at all? Is it not me that has been praying in this house? See how these other women are living their life. Nobody even cares. It is me that is calling upon your name day and night. It is still me that you came and took my husband to leave me empty. What have I done to deserve this? And God, being a loving God, he came and spoke to me. He whispered to me inside my ears. That was the beginning of my own ministry. That whisper that he whispered into my ears was the beginning of my own ministry. And God began to trim my life. God began to trim my life. God began to trim my life to a point where I am standing before you today. Hallelujah. Biblical definition of a widow. We have already said that. From 1 Timothy chapter 5, you will find that there. And then Proverbs chapter 15 verse 25. So I would have younger widows marry, bear children, manage their household, and give the adversary no occasion for slander. Those widows who are to marry, they should marry. That is what the scripture is talking about. And then Proverbs chapter 15 verse 25 says, the Lord tears down the house of the proud, but maintains the widow's boundary. That is the kind of love God has for widows. His eyes are upon the widow. It baffles me when widows think that they are left alone. Because I have several experiences that if I want to share them here, I can never say all. There are so many things that God has done for me. Is it death? People call me a witch in my neighborhood, though. They called me a witch because of the kind of things that has happened around me and nothing happened to me. Is it pouring substance on my door that will come and march on it and nothing happens to me? I still go out there gallantly. They wonder, is this woman not a witch? You don't know the strength of a widow. You don't know the power that God has endowed a widow with. That's why you can play and go about looking for solution with other men out there. Refusing to marry your God who says he's the husband to the widow and the father to the fatherless. It's so shameful when I see other women looking so wretched, looking so frustrated, looking as if life has crumbled over them, as if there's no hope for living again. Because God himself can never allow a widow. Even widows who are not even godly. Do you know that God still have concern about them? When you maltreat a widow, even that one that is not a Christian, God is not happy. And he will find a way to pay back. That is how much God reverences a widow. In fact, I feel so special. Do I have widows here? Don't you feel special? I feel so special as a widow. Because I know what God has done in my life. And I also know the presence of God around me. I also know what God is bent to do with me. So I'm not intimidated being a widow. We look at types of single parents, family, divorce parents, widow parents, unmarried parents, or split up. These cases are effect of single parenting. The cases of an effect of single parenting is divorce. Some of these single mothers are divorced mothers, or they are divorced parents. Some of them is death, that is the cause of the spouse. And then some unwanted pregnancy, some adoption. Are you there as a single mother that you had an unwanted pregnancy and you feel as if life has crumbled over you. You feel as if there is no hope again. You feel as if life does not favor you. So there is no need living a good life again. There's no need living a faithful life again. God is speaking to you as a single mother today, that in all these cases affecting single mothers, God is the husband to the widow and the father to the fatherless. And also the single mothers who are not even widows, but are single mothers. God is also concerned about your life. Don't think that you will give up on life. Don't feel that life has crumbled over you. Don't feel so frustrated and weighed down, thinking that you cannot make it again in life. Just open up your heart and avail yourself and see how God will work through you. And you will become a very honorable woman in the society. Because God can never forget even single mothers and widows. Because of these problems, lack of spouses and unwanted pregnancy and all of that, it leads to many problems such as psychological problems. Some of these women, they have psychological problems. Trauma has already set in. Mental health is already there. And behavioral issues. See, somebody will just feel as if, I don't want to talk to anybody. I just don't want to see anybody again. That's a widow who does not know her left and right. You feel so angry with yourself, even your children. You feel angry at everybody. Nobody is the cause of your problem. Nobody. It is God himself that has allowed it. So if you will give him yourself, that is where he will begin to mend your life again. That is where he will begin to give you life again. That is where he will begin to give you hope for living again. You cannot get angry with yourself and then get frustrated and kill yourself. There are some mothers that does that. They ended up killing themselves and leaving their children. Some allow sickness to take over them, and then in the process, they died and leave their children. Because of frustration. Because they did not know the solution to their problem. The solution to this problem is only Christ. It is only when you come to Christ that you find life again as a widow. It is only when you come to Christ that you find life again as a single mother. There's no life outside there. I remember when my husband died, a woman came to me and said, Mrs. Kwan, now your husband is gone. What you will need to do now, once it is dark, lock everywhere, stay indoor. I did not even understand what she was saying. Because I've not been a widow before. I did not have that kind of experience. But she told me, don't even go to the house of anybody to go and sit and talk. Those were the words that woman was telling me. Stay in your own house. Once evening comes, lock your door with your children. Stay inside and be praying. That woman was an NKST woman. She was an NKST woman. And I also want to believe that she had the experience, because she too was a widow. And she had that experience. And I began to live that kind of life. If you go to my house, even if in the daytime, my door is not open. Before you enter, you will knock. Before I come and open the door, I will first of all look at who is outside. If somebody that I don't want to see, I will say, I'm not opening. I will just go back and sit down. Because I did not invite you in my house. So I will not even open the door for you. And now began to cultivate a life of prayer. I began to pray. And God began to expand my life. I began to see the need for living. Because actually when my husband died, I felt the whole world has crumbled over me. I felt that there is nothing good about life again. But there's still one thing that the Lord did to me. He made me a woman who loves God. He just gave me that gift of loving the Lord, even before my husband died. In fact, when my husband was alive, he used to have issues with me, with this God thing. Not knowing that there was something that God was cultivating inside of my life. And also for me to understand that a time will come when this man will not be no more. And I will fall back on him and him alone. A time also came, even when he was still alive, I did not see the need of him being around me, because when I'm serving my God and he comes near, I feel as if he's disturbing my life. He was a politician. Go out and do your politics. Allow me to stay with my God. That was how I was living. Then God now came and took him. And I understood why God was drawing me. Even when my husband was still alive, he was drawing me to himself. And I was no longer having that kind of comfort staying around my husband all the time. I felt that he should go about his own business. Let me embrace my God and be serving him the way I want to serve him. As a single mother, are you so frustrated thinking that you don't have a life again? Thinking that your life is in the hands of that man out there? Your life is in the hands of that politician that will useless your life. Because some of these men, when you become a widow, they are not coming to come and console you. Some of them are even your husband's friends. They are coming to take lay hold of your body. Even the little that was left behind, they will take it away from you. And I was so lucky that God opened my eyes so early enough to be able to know and to be able to identify the wolf and the sheep. If you come close, and if you are coming to my house, I will look at you very well. And I will see the angle you are coming from. If it is something that I will give you attention, I will give you attention. If it is not, just know that your name is sorry. Because in fact, my attitude towards you will even frustrate you. Because some of them will come and say, "Madam, don't worry. Your husband is dead, but we his friends, we are here. We will take care of you, whatever you need. We don't want to, we are not taking advantage of all your emotions. So we just want to help you in the little area we can help." But that little area that they want to help you is to take over your life. To take you and to steal from you even the little your husband left behind. They will take it away from you and leave you empty. And they will no longer see you as if you are valuable anymore. I want to speak to widows this morning. Are you that widow that feels not contented with what you have? Are you that widow that feels you cannot go ahead again as after your husband's death? Are you that widow that feels that your help is from the hands of a man who is not your husband? Or your help is in the hands of a man who is already a married man? You are not even considerate enough to think that this other woman will feel the pain that you are also feeling. Because if you take your husband away from you, from her, she's also experiencing pain. She's not the cause of your calamity. She's not the cause of your problem. So I advise you women, especially single mothers and widows. Single mothers are faced with challenges, especially lack of finances, lack of financial support, being pressurized to get married, especially for those of you that are single mothers and young widows. Because you want to get married, everybody you see as a brother there, and you're already thinking, having dreams that, this is the kind of man that wants to marry without God telling you. And then you begin to showcase yourself before the people, the man. Just because you want to marry, you are so desperate to get married. I mentioned it earlier before, that if you are a young widow and you want to get married, ask the Lord. If God truly wants you to get married, he will give you a husband. There's no need getting so pressurized, getting so frustrated, and then being so desperate, looking for a man desperately. And then this man will not even value you, because a woman who is desperate over a man, the man does not even value you anymore. He will see you as a cheap woman. You don't know that you as a single lady, the fact that you do not have a husband, you are still valuable. Value yourself. Value yourself. Don't go and present yourself before a man as if you don't have value. As if you are so desperate. As if without that man, you cannot live. Women have lived like that and they were frustrated in the hands of this man. They came and took everything they had and then left them empty. Beating them day and night. Your children, they can even sleep with your children. Sleeping with you and your children. And some of these women, because they don't know God, they can even try to appease the man by giving that man her own daughter, their children to sleep with, just because they want to keep that relationship, just because of the little crumbs that they are getting from this man. It's so pained. It's so painful that as a widow, You don't know that God is the husband to the widow and the father to the fatherless. When you come to him wholeheartedly, he will now begin to use you. And you will begin to see the value of a widow. You will begin to see the value of a single mother. As you have given yourself to him, he will begin to walk through you and you begin to touch many lives. Even in the days of old in the Bible, God uses widow to bless people. You are fair to understand that. Look at the widow of Zarephath. So many other widows God used to even bless the men of God. And you are there thinking that you don't have anything to bring before the table of God. You think that your life is the hands of Elisha's. You think that your life is the hands of a man out there. It is very unfortunate that so many widows don't understand their purpose. And they don't even understand that they are valuable before the eyes of God. I want us to touch the story of, as I'm talking about widowhood and how to present yourself as a widow, there are certain things that a widow needs to do to overcome challenges. There are certain things a widow needs to do. One of it, you need to be to stay strong. You need to stay strong. When my husband died, I used myself a lot as an example. People were crying here and there. Everybody was crying. I was in shock. I could not cry. But there's one thing I was doing. When I became so heavy, instead of crying, I would go back and look for a secret place. And I would begin to ask the Lord, Lord, this thing is above me. Give me strength to be able to stand. Give me, that was my cry. I wasn't crying and rubbing myself on the ground like every other person. That was the way I was crying. My tears were in the place of prayer. Lord, this thing is too heavy for me. Give me the grace to walk through this. If truly you love me, I know that you will never leave me. Give me the grace to stand. Give me the grace to stand. Give me the strength to walk through this. That little prayer I was praying, I never knew that it would take me for years or to the point I am standing today. That was the tears that I was crying. My cry was prayer. It was not tears coming down from my cheeks. I wasn't crying like that. People say I was in shock. Some will even say, you are not crying. You will develop sickness. You are not crying. You will be sick. You will break down. But I couldn't just cry. I couldn't just cry. I ended up praying and praying and praying and praying. And then God was releasing strength to me. So stay strong. You can do that in a place of prayer. When you give your life to Christ and you allow God to walk through you, you will see that that strength will begin to come. This your vulnerability. This your fragile look that you think, because before my husband died, I was also fragile. My husband used to tell me that if I die, I just pity how your life will be like. I wish he would come back to life and see me today and see how strong I have become. I wish he would come back. Because sometimes I see him on the sick bed crying. I will ask him, why are you crying? He said, I am crying because of you and my son. I don't know what will become of you. I didn't even understand what a widowhood is all about. So those words would even not mean anything to me. I was saying, you will not die. Even though he was in a critical state, I was still telling him, you will not die, you will live. And he eventually died. But I want you to understand that if he comes back to life, he will not be able to recognize this his wife. This wife that was so psychedelic, moving about and thinking that, oh, I have a husband who can do everything. Now I am in charge of myself. I can go through things that you think I will not be able to go through. Because why? God himself has held my hand. God has held my hand to walk me through. There are some things that will come my way. I will ask the Lord, will I be able to go through this? And then it looks as if I close my eyes and I'm going through it. And that is how God will now walk me through such circumstances and situations. And I will walk through successfully. So don't even think that you are too fragile that God cannot give you strength. Also, dealing with extended family. Be wise. Be wise in dealing with extended family. Don't just go and pour out everything out there. Your husband is now God and he is your advisor and everything. If you have the spiritual parents, you also involve them in your journey as a widow. Do you understand me? Don't go and begin to talk to your relatives. Tell them everything, because it's from that telling them that you begin to see another face of darkness coming your way. I am not saying that you should not be friendly to your relatives, to your extended family. And then set clear goals. Set clear goals. Don't be a woman who will wake up and then just be all about moving here and there, moving here, and you don't have any concrete thing, any serious thing to do. You just feel that because your husband is not there, you move to here, you move here, you go here, you go here, go and sit here and talk, go and sit here and talk. No. Set clear goals. Know what you want in your home. Know the kind of people you relate with, because now you have become a widow. It's not everybody that is supposed to be your friend. And then, in fact, I will advise widows, don't see it as a reason for you to go and gather friends because of loneliness. That is not a way a widow should live, because if anything comes up, it is you who is a widow that they will first accuse. Widows are identified as women who gossip a lot. Gossip a lot. They are husband snatchers. These are the names they call them. Husband snatchers. They are gossipers. They are not contented with what they have. So set clear goals. Know exactly what you want to do in your home. How your children will live like. How the pattern you want your home to be like. And then train your children in a proper way. Know that now you are a widow. So you cannot just indulge in every other thing just like every other woman. There are certain things that you just withdraw from. Knowing that all the responsibility has now rested on your shoulder. So you cannot be all out with other women. Be well organized. Be well organized. Don't be a woman that because you are a widow, you feel your husband is not there. So even your bedroom will be scattered. Your kitchen is scattered. Everything is scattered. Your children are scattered. You don't care about anything because nobody is there to check you. That is not how a good widow should live. A widow is supposed to be well organized. Wherever you are going, you will go there on time and come back on time. Make sure that your house is kept orderly. In the absence of your husband, people will also come into your house and know that actually this woman is an orderly woman. The fact that you are a widow does not mean you will live carelessly. You will live disorderly. Keep your things in order. Keep your kitchen in order. Your children, their rooms should be kept orderly. Everything about it, because the way you are living your life, your children are also watching. So make it a priority for you to train your children properly as a widow. Your husband is no longer there, so all the responsibility has rested on your own shoulder. So take it as serious to be able to do it excessively and successfully so that your children will not deviate from the ways of the Lord. And then be flexible yet firm. Be flexible, because I earlier mentioned here that as a widow, in my own case, I felt that there are people who can come to my house, and then I feel other people cannot come. And then when you come and I don't want to see you, I will not open my door. And then the way you position yourself to answer your relatives, when they ask any question, you just give them bah. You will just handle yourself in a way that they will still see you as somebody they can relate with. Don't feel that they are the cause of your husband's death. Begin to hate them so much, you don't want to communicate with them. You don't want to have anything to do with them. In my own case, I was also like that. I did not want to have anything to do with my husband's people. But God began to work. I asked the Lord, are you partial? These same people that my husband died and you left me with, and they are living their life, and I'm also living my life. You also want me to now begin to relate with them as if I will not, though. I will not. But God said, you will win by love. You will win by love. It took me years to be able to break in that area of my life. To begin to relate with them. To begin to loosen up. And even though in some other areas like being firm, there are certain things that they will demand from you. Make sure you stand your ground, knowing that it is God himself that has given you such instruction. Don't just act because you want to act. Because in some of these cases, God will give you an instruction on what to do. So if they are coming against those instructions, that is where you refuse and you stand your ground in the place of prayer as well. Because the world is so darkened these days. You cannot say you will do these things without prayer. But when you are praying and when you know that what you are doing is right, at the end of it all, they will also recognize that truly what this woman was saying is right, because their eyes will begin to open, and then you will know that really what you did was right. You will allow them, you'll be flexible with them, but you will also be firm. Make sure that there are certain things that you will not allow to be touched, because widows are seen as most vulnerable women. Somebody will come into your life and want to take advantage of you. It's not a place for you to say, because it's my husband's relative, I will just, let me just, that one, you will stand your ground. Stand your ground and say no. Because some of them will even threaten you and say, if you don't allow me, then you will not enjoy this house. We'll take our brother's property, we'll take everything, we'll do this, we'll do that, and you become so afraid. If it is property you want to take, take. So long as you leave me intact with my Christ, I am good to go. It's not a place for me to come and loosen up with myself with somebody so that the person will take advantage of me. So, be flexible to them, but be what? Firm. Then in the area where lack set in and some other challenges, you can ask for help. You can also ask for help. If you ask for help, in fact, be wise. Even when it comes to asking for help, you cannot go to anybody and begin to ask for help. You have to have direction. If God directs you to go here, sometimes God will even put it on somebody to come and help you. And the person will come and give you that help. And believe in yourself. Because some widows feel, my husband is not. I have said that over and over again. Believe in yourself. Don't feel that you cannot do anything again in life. You can start a business. You can get a job. And then also, you can even be a source of support to people around you. Even in the church. Because sometimes when people come to me and are demanding for prayers, I ask questions. I say, these people, do they think me, I don't have issues? They think I don't have issues. Every time, pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. You are not even thinking that you should also pray for me as well. I also need prayers. They feel I am so gallant that I don't have challenges. I also have challenges. So, see, if God did not see you fit, he will not put this kind of strength upon you. So, no, believe in yourself that you are able to deliver yourself from problem, and you will also be able to deliver somebody else. If you cannot deliver yourself from yourself in your state of life at that time as a widow, you will not be able to deliver another widow who is going through a challenge. But when you are able to deliver, in fact, when you deliver yourself, that widow will also see you as somebody that I can go to and receive help. Because they are seeing your life and they are seeing that you are in charge of your life. He has seen the glory of God upon your life and feels that if I go to her, I will also have support. So believe in yourself as a widow and as a single mother. Don't think that you will all the times be going to people to seek for help. Know that you have something inside of you that is so valuable. Identify that thing. And if you don't know, ask the Lord to show you, to reveal to you what exactly is inside of you that will be a help, a support, and a will bring deliverance to somebody else. Don't just feel so pitiful every time you're looking so pitiful. I don't have food in the house to eat. I don't have this one. I don't have clothes. My children, they don't have school fees. This can't you don't have two hands. You have two hands. In fact, there are situations whereby you are so dry, you don't have anything. That one is there actually. But that doesn't mean that is your life all the time. Somebody can give you help, and then from there you will start something doing. Don't always think that your help comes from this person. Every time you are going there to seek for help, those people will also get tired of you as a widow and as a single mother. Know that you have to start something doing by all means. Do it so that you'll be a source of help to your children, to yourself, and to even people around you, and to even other women, other widows as well. May the Lord help us in the name of Jesus. And then be compassionate and reasonable to yourself and your children. It is also important to listen to your children when they need to express their feeling about being a single parent home. I will also use myself as an example. When my husband died, my son will come to me and be asking, "Mommy, is daddy going to come back?" Because he was small then. "Is he going to, did he travel? How long is he going to stay now? I want him to come back and buy this and that for me." I will look at him and I will tell him, "Your daddy has gone to be with God. And do you know that all of us will one day go and stay with him?" He say, "Eh, is God's place a good place?" I say, "Yes, it's a good place. So that is where all of us are going one day. We'll go and meet him there, and then we will not lose him again. He will be with us forever." And then if they ask you a question, "How this school fees, how is it going to be like?" You will tell them, "Our God will provide." As you are praying, you are also looking for solution. Have a business. If you have a work, good and fine. Your work is providing for you to be able to take care of the needs of your children. Then, if you don't have a work, your business should be there, a source of support to you. And then people will also be a source of support to you. So be reasonable to yourself and your children. Don't kill yourself because you lost your husband. Don't kill yourself. Don't feel that God hates you. Don't feel that God has sidelined you. Don't feel that you have become so lonely that there is nothing to live for again. Be reasonable. Your children need you. Your relatives also need you. Other widows also need you. People in the society need you. So don't kill yourself. The God who has allowed this to be before you is not a wicked God. He also has ways of providing for you. He has another path that he has chosen for you. I want us to look at the story of Anna in the Bible. The Bible, because if I the way I'm talking, maybe some of you are asking, what if you become a widow as a young lady? I also became a widow as a young lady. I am 14 years in widowhood today. So, it's not a question. And then when I even want to question myself, God will now bring the story of Anna before me. I say, I have a witness in the Bible. She did not have four legs. Neither did she have five hands. Anna married her husband in her youthful age. The Bible recorded that she lived with her husband for just 7 years. And after that, the husband died. Anna cultivated the habit of prayer. She became an intercessor. Through intercession, God himself endowed her with the gift of prophecy. It was in the place of prayer that Anna was able to acquire this gift. And do you know that Anna was opportune to see Jesus? When Jesus was presented in the temple to be dedicated, Anna was there in the temple. So she also witnessed the child Jesus. What an honor. What an honor. As a widow who is not going to get married again, or you feel or you understand that your own is not that God wants you to marry again, you are going to serve him for the rest of your life. Your core is intercession. Pray until what God wants to do in your land, in your life, in the life of your family, in the life of your children, in your church will come to pass. Don't useless yourself on mundane things of this world. Give your life to prayer. Give your life to fasting and prayer. Dedicate yourself to the word of God and live righteously. And you will see how God will honor you. You will see how God will bless you. You will see how God will lift you. People who thought that nothing good will come out of your life, they will have a different story to say altogether again. Because your life, because as you are on this journey of widowhood, I know that some people are already throwing legs and saying, "You must fall, you must fall, you must fall." And then as they are throwing those legs, setting traps for you, you are able to escape those traps and you are moving ahead. And they will begin to wonder what is really inside of this woman, that no matter the traps we set for her, she cannot fall inside these traps. She's moving from grace to grace, from strength to strength. God himself would do it. Do you know that God used the fragile and the mundane things which people have given up on, things which people have sidelined, because a widow is an example of Someone who is sidelined in the society, they don't look at them as anybody. The fact that your life has crumbled, you don't have a cover. Anything can come and rest on your shoulder. Everybody can come and mock you. People will come and insult you. People will say all manner of things against you, and you have nothing to do. Those are the people God will just go and pick. Why is he doing that? He's doing that to show his sovereignty over creation. Because as a widow, nobody feels that anything good can come out of you again. But when God begins to beautify you, when God begins to beautify you, that is where you begin to see the honor of a widow. I am not saying that widowhood is a good thing to before anybody, oh, but peradventure you fall into that situation. Don't give up on your life. Don't give up. Because you still have another responsibility in the house of God, which is even much more important. Because that is what will take you into eternity. So widows, I encourage you this morning, and single mothers, your help is in the Lord. If you read Luke chapter 2, verse 36 to 38, it talks about the prophetess Anna in the Bible, who God described as a woman who devoted herself. Say, and there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was a great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years. That's to say, 84 years. Which departed not from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers day and night. And she coming into that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. What an honor. What an honor. I want us to stop there. Then also, as a widow, there is another woman in the Bible who was a single mother. Her name was Dorcas, whose name was also Tabitha. The Bible recorded that this single woman, she was a single parent, but she lived a valuable life in her time. This woman will look into the needs of other women out there who are poor. She will sew clothes to them, give them food to eat. In fact, encourage them in the word of God. She was actually a source of happiness to as many women that were coming to her. I believe that it was not only women that were coming to this woman, even men were coming to her. And she was blessing them in diverse ways. She was a single mother. So you cannot use single motherism as an excuse, if there's any word like that anyway, as a reason for you to sit and fold your hands, living a pitiful life, so that people will pity you, people will come and sleep with you and give you money. The Tabitha, whose name was also called Dorcas, was a single woman as well. But she lived a devoted life. The Bible also recorded that she was a disciple of Jesus Christ. Let's read Acts chapter 9, verse 36. It says, now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And for as much as Lydda was near to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him 2 men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping. These are widows who were witnesses of the good works of Tabitha, and whose name was also Dorcas. They are good works in their lives. And showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed. And turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called saints and widows, presented her alive. Do you know that even in death, Tabitha was able to preach the gospel of Christ? Tabitha was able to make people give their life to Christ through her death. Because the Bible recorded that when Tabitha was raised back to life, many people believed in God. Her good works also took her, even in her death. Even in her death, she did a good work, bringing people to Christ. Many people gave their life to Christ as a result of Tabitha's good works. And her devotion to God and her death also pulled people to also believe the word of God and were saved. Are you that woman here who has given up on your life and felt that there's nothing good to live again? It's better for you to die and leave your children in the hands of the messes of your enemies and your neighbors and your relatives. It is time for you to encourage yourself again. Look at these two witnesses in the Bible who lived for Christ and the result of their testimony. Look at the testimonies of their lives. And be encouraged. And go back to your home today as a new woman, as a new widow, as a new single mother. Know that your help does not come from anywhere. Your help comes only from the Lord. If you give all to God, you will begin to see the work of God inside your life that will benefit other people who are out there that have lost hope on life. Praise the Lord. Do you understand what I have said this morning? Is there any question among us, especially the widows and the single mothers? Do I have question? Or do you understand what I said? Just like our mommy said. Do you understand what I said? Or is there any question? Is there any part of your life that you are finding a challenge that you need to be clarified? If there's anyone like that, I would need to take such questions. Because if you keep it to yourself, this is the place where you will receive strength and go back and become a new woman. But if you keep it to yourself and refuse to open up, you will go back bound again. And the devil will continue to whip you like he was whipping those women yesterday that were caged here. This is the place where you'll be losing, where you'll be set free. So if there's any question like that, I would love to take at least a few questions before we round up. Are you afraid? Are you afraid to ask questions? Or you are overwhelmed? Okay. Okay.
Good evening, ma. Good evening, everyone. Good morning. Good morning, ma.
Morning.
Okay, ma. My question is, how do we deal with brethren within us that are supposed to be supportive, both verbally and non-verbally, towards single mothers? Single mothers especially.
Okay.
There is a condemnation within the family that we find difficult to understand. As Christians, we are supposed to love one another, regardless of the life they had in the past or they lived in the past. But then I realized that here within ourselves, we have this hate towards single mothers. So my question is, how do we deal with this?
Okay, your question is dealing with condemnation.
Yes, ma'am.
Is that?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, I earlier mentioned here that first of all, you have to believe in yourself. You have to deliver yourself from the situation that you find yourself in. When you deliver yourself, Actually, the act of being a single mother, maybe you were not a believer or you were a believer, but you found yourself in that situation. Maybe you slept with somebody who is not your husband, or maybe you were in the relationship and you ended up that way. And the person left you and you felt so condemned, you felt as if there's no life again. There's a wound in your life, in your heart already. And that shame is already upon you. You feel as if everybody has condemned you. You feel as if nobody will believe in you again. But when you deliver yourself, when you give yourself to Christ, the Bible tells us that all things have passed away and all things have become new. The garment of filthiness and the garment of disgrace and shame is being removed away from you. Have this at the back of your mind. Don't allow failure to cripple you. Don't allow condemnation to cripple you. Don't allow the state of your life to cripple you. Look beyond that, because Christ has done it for you on the cross. And it is over. Whenever the devil comes and reminds you that you are a single mother, you had a child out of wedlock, and you are sitting here thinking that you are serving God. How will you serve God when you don't have a husband? You are already condemned. You will tell the devil, I am a new man in Christ. Christ himself has paid the price for me. And so that garment of filthiness and disgrace and shame is being removed away from me. I'm a new person altogether. Even if a brother condemns you or a sister condemns you, don't take it to heart. Carry your face high. Carry your head high. Because Christ himself has taken that you are a legitimate child of God. You are no longer condemned. So that should not be a reason for you to put your head down and then not be able to be excited in the midst of brethren. You are equally with them, because the very day that you gave your life to Christ, the garment of filthiness and disgrace has been removed away from you. You have become a new person. So there's no need for you to go back feeling sorry for yourself, feeling condemned, allowing the devil to take you round and round the circle all the rest of your life without making any progress. If you live like that, you will be like these women that were here yesterday. Nobody to deliver them. It took one child of God to stand that they were delivered. Your state will be sorry. Your case will be a sorry case if you allow yourself to be condemned. Do you know that you cannot, nobody will value yourself for you. You yourself will have to value yourself for other people to value you. If you don't value yourself, nobody will value you. So forget about what people are saying. Did I answer your question? Any other question? Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
In my experience as a widow, I have come across younger widows asking me about sexual purity. They are concerned that there's a myth that if you don't sleep with a person, some bad blood will gather in your body and cause you sickness. I'm sure some of you have heard of that.
Yes.
So I want our sister to address it to some level. Because, as I say, a myth is something that has no reality attached to it. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. I think I will try a little. Because I also have this experience. So I will. I see what I can give out. Actually, as a young widow, that is why the Bible demands that a widow who is young should marry. Except a situation whereby God has put something upon your life, has placed a call upon your life, and is calling you in that area. That is where he will now not allow you to marry again. Maybe he calls you not to marry and to stay single. But there is this experience. The fact that you are a widow and you are a child of God does not mean that you will not have sexual urge. Do you understand me? You will definitely have sexual urge. Why? Because you are still young. Your body is still willing to accept a man. Do you understand me? It is you now that will begin to discipline yourself. Because why? You are a child of God. That is why you will see widows out there who have not given their life to Christ. They live waywardly. Because when that urge comes upon them, they cannot control themselves. They go about looking for how they will satisfy their sexual urge. But as a child of God, you will begin to discipline yourself. See, let me tell you, even as a married man and a married woman, married couples, they have sexual urge as well. If they are out there without their husband or their spouse, they have that same sexual urge. But they are able to handle themselves. It is discipline that will make you to be able to do that. God is not coming to say, because you are a widow, I have shut the door of lust. I have shut the door of sexual urge upon your life. He is not going to do that. It is also a way of trying you. It's also a way of trying you to know if really you have given all to this call that I have put upon your life. The fact that you are supposed to marry, you will also have to wait for your own husband as a widow until the day you get married before you will have intimacy with your husband. So as a single widow or a single mother, that especially widows who are still young and they are having this experience, there is nothing else you can do but to discipline yourself. I will tell you the kind of experiences that I used to have. Until God, I never knew that God was rather training me and draining that sexual urge out of my life. It took years. I will sleep in the night, and after a while, I felt as if something has entered me, and I'm feeling looking for a man desperately. Where will I see this man? Where will I? And then God now gave, I don't even know how it came. Before I wake up, I will push out that sexual urge. As if it has entered my body, and I will push it out. And when I wake up, I will feel okay. As I'm waking up from the bed, I will not feel as if anything happened to me. It took years. There were times that when this thing started happening, I will have that sexual urge. And I wake up, I am dealing with it. I say, hey. But the day God, yeah, I gave my life to Christ, I said, I am not going to have anything to do with any man. So this thing, you don't have a place in my life. You have to go out. It's there. I did not even know how to handle it at then, by that time. But I used to pray and say, Lord, I am not going to see any man. Because why? It is not proper for a child of God to indulge in adultery. So for this reason, I will hold myself. It was not easy for me at first. But there was one thing I did. I kept praying about it. Lord, when will I overcome this? When will I be able to stand and resist this thing? I say 14 years of widowhood. It was happening to me until about 3 years back. That was when I began to conquer that spirit. When it comes, I will push it out. When it comes, I will push it out. When it comes, I will push it out. And then a time came. When it comes, I'm looking at it. I'm looking at it. I am not even moved. You know, there are times that when it comes, I'll be rolling on my bed. I'm rolling on my bed. And then I don't wake up. Then a time came when if I see it, I am looking at it. When you finish doing whatever you want to do, you can go. That was what happened to me. When you finish doing what you want to do, leave. And I will wake up, I will not feel anything. It is only in the place of prayer that you can get this. When this experience comes upon you, keep praying and asking the Lord to give you victory and make you in charge of your life. The devil cannot be in charge of your own life. Give you in charge of your life. Do you know that when this thing happens to me, that was when I began to look at the man as nothing. By the time that thing happens to me, if I see a man, I don't see you as a man. If you want, be a Prince Charming of your time. I don't see you as any man. I will recognize you as a man, but I don't have anything attached to you. Nothing. Nothing attached. I can stay with you till night. I will not feel anything. There is nothing that is coming. In fact, it doesn't even come to my mind at all. I don't know what God actually did to me. I cannot even say. But that was exactly what he did to me. And that is the experiences I'm having. There is nothing that you would do that will make me feel this man is like this. But he tortured me. He tortured me. He tortured me in the closet. He tortured me. He tortured me because each time I had that experience and have a feeling, I know that, oh, it is not over yet. It is still there. God will still come again and began to make me go through that experience again to check if I have overcome it. And until I began to stand on my own, that was when, if I see that, it doesn't mean anything. I will not even have a single feeling about any man. And then if, in case a man is intending to come and ask me anything or look at me in some kind of way, God will reveal to me that this man here, that man there, is beginning to look at you in some type of way. And then I will cockle myself very well. Yes. I will cockle myself very well. And if I see that man, you greet me, I'll greet you. And then the way I put my face, you will know that she's not ready for anything. She's not ready for you. That is what God did for me. So this experience, you are a human being. As a young widow, you are a human being. You cannot run away from that experience. It will come. It is also in your hands to be able to work it out and be in charge of your life. If you don't work it out, you will always be a slave to lust. You will always be a slave to lust until you give it all. There are some women who say, if I don't sleep with a man, I cannot sleep. If I don't sleep with a man, I cannot sleep. See, nobody is a superwoman. Nobody is a superwoman. That strength comes in the place of prayer. And it is only God that can do it. It is only God that can do it. When you give him all, and if a couple with the call of God upon your life, he will walk you through. So that because he knows the kind of people you are going to deal with. Is this how you are going to look at one person and begin to walk somehow so that the man will now fall? If it doesn't work on your life, then you will be a weapon of destruction before the men of God. The very vessels that you are supposed to keep as a widow, you begin to destroy those vessels. So it is only God that can do it. If God himself will work on your life and then you will allow him. It's not that you are lusting and you are looking for a man and then thinking that God will help you. He will not help you in that way. It is when you give him all, he sees the sincerity of your heart. That is when he will begin to do that work inside of you. And he will drain that lust out of your life. As I'm speaking to you now, it comes, but it doesn't move me. It comes. When that loss comes, I say, you come, okay, stay now. Where you want to go, you will go. Because there's nothing I can do. And then there's sometimes that I will stand before the mirror and say, look, this is your body. It's the temple of the Holy Spirit. It's only the Holy Spirit that has the right to operate here. No other person has the right to operate in this body. This body belongs to God. It is only God that can walk here. No man can walk inside this body except God. I tell myself that consistently. Even up to today, I tell God. I stand before the mirror and I describe myself. I present myself before God. I say, see your bride. As you see me here, it is only you that has the right to use this body. No man can use it except you. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Dearly beloved, we believe you've been greatly blessed by this sermon. Do you want to download more sermons of your favorite preachers? Visit www.spiritnerds.org today. Reach us by email for more information and concerns at spiritnerds.org@gmail.com. God bless you.